Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little sourdough corrupts the whole lump of dough? Cleanse out the old sourdough so that you may be a new lump of dough, since you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is offered for us. Therefore, we eat not the old sourdough, but the sourdough of malice, or the sourdough of malice and waywardness, but instead the unleavened bread of clearness and of truth. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Christ Jesus suffered and died to forgive your sins and to give you a new life. He's not content with you remaining in your sins, leading to death. He forgives you by his shed blood, washed upon you in your baptism, and given to you to drink in the Holy Supper. He crucifies in you all your evil rebellion against his word, and then buries it in a watery tomb. He proclaims, he absolves, and he renews you daily and richly with this good news of his forgiveness. Because where there is forgiveness, you are being made new, raised from the dead, and given to live a new life. That means you will not leave today the same. Jesus speaks the word of life that death cannot stand. He proclaims a word of forgiveness that removes the stains of guilt and shame. He drives a wooden stake through the serpent's skull, forever unraveling the devil's might. This eternal truth changes how you view yourself, the world, everyone, indeed everything. You now see yourself, your neighbor, and even this world as redeemed by Christ the crucified. So why would you ever return to the darkness now that you've seen the light? Why would you fawn after idols and live by lies and neglect this saving word ever again? How could you continue rebelling against what God set up in good order by his word? Why would you ever allow hate, lust, greed, and slander to enter the new heart that Christ has given you again? Now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you are blessed to be the one who trusts in him. And those who fear him have no want. Those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. So St. Paul called Christ Jesus today the unleavened bread of clearness and of truth. He is the bread from heaven that is your daily bread. Yes, daily bread has to do with everything for the support and needs of the body, yes. But the word is also given under bread and wine, his body and blood, and these are the daily food for the hungry soul. With the mention of unleavened bread, the apostle, of course, is drawing your attention to the Passover feast of old. Christ is our Passover lamb. He is the Paschal, the Passover feast. You recall that our fathers had to prepare their dough that night with haste. They would not have time to prepare leavened loaves, but they would bake the unleavened as they fled from Egypt and towards the Red Sea. And now the apostle proclaims unequivocally that Jesus is that final and ultimate Passover lamb whose death satisfies all the wrath of God and whose blood prevents death from ever touching us and who is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So then what does the apostle mean when he says to cast out the old leaven, that is the sour dough? We do not need the leavened lump if Christ is our lamb and the unleavened bread for us. We can leave that leavened lump behind in our Egypt, along with all of its false gods, the bondage of sin, the murderous foe, death itself, all malice and evil. More so, now we've learned that leavened lump is no longer good for us. It must be thrown away and never brought near us again. Now, I know you probably like sourdough, and maybe you're going to have some later at your feast, but just run with St. Paul's picture here. The context of the statement about the leavened lump and the unleavened is what's going on in the Church of Corinth, this wicked and disgusted immorality that was in that congregation. something that Paul says not even the pagans dare do. It was being done in a Christian church. And worse yet, the offending parties are boasting about it rather than mourning it. Even the congregation to which these people belonged refused to bring correction through the proclamation of God's law and exercising the office of the keys. The immoral couple is allowed to commune at the holy altar, and Paul tells us that that is sinning against Christ's body and blood. And Christ does not hold those guiltless who persistently sin against him. Paul tells us that the rot of that gross outward sin begins to spread, and many in the congregation are being scandalized, leading others into sinful rebellion, and some abandoning the congregation and even Christ's church altogether. By the way, this is why it is our practice that only those who have been examined and absolved are given the Holy Supper. It's for your good that you not receive it to your harm, but for your spiritual well-being. The apostle gives the instruction in the same epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But back to the context, the apostle explicitly instructs them, in regards to this immoral couple, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The sourdough, so to speak, ought to have been dealt with when it was first known by the congregation, with repentance and forgiveness and spirit-worked amendment of life. Instead, it sounds like they were gossiping and backbiting about the couple, or worse, even accepting and encouraging this public sin. But it must be rebuked and corrected for the sake of the whole body of Christ in that place. Otherwise, Paul is telling us that little leaven, well, it grows as sourdough does, and it would infect the whole congregation, ultimately undermining the preaching of the word there and putting the beloved, all the beloved, in spiritual danger. Thus, the apostle brings the congregation to repentance, forgiveness, and spirit-wrought renewal. Now, that's pretty serious stuff, maybe not the sort of topic you expected here on Easter morning. But the rejection of Christ's word is serious. Again, as Paul said, even a little sourdough corrupts the whole lump of dough. Thus, take his word to heart. He's exhorting each congregation member in Corinth to examine and judge themselves according to the standard of God's word. He tells them not to keep company with anyone named a brother, that is, a fellow Christian, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Again, referencing the Lord's Supper. By dealing with sin in confession and absolution in the congregation before it grows and infests, your life and the lives of the community around you are spared the worst consequences. And this is God's law at work, and it always accuses and disciplines the sinner. But if I left you there, it wouldn't be Easter, would it? And as St. Paul hinted already, that there is hope, even for this utterly corrupt congregation. And this is true for us too. No one is beyond saving. Even with a harsh rebuke from the Lord, he still proclaims to them, Christ, our Passover, is offered for us. He had many more things to say to them before he returns to that good news, some 10 chapters later. But when the apostle finally does, the Spirit-breathed words pour forth in rich absolution, forgiveness for the congregation. He proclaims the gospel with full-throated acclamation. Hear what he says. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by one man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, or if you prefer, unleavened, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear Christian, take heed to the apostle's instruction. Cleanse out the old sourdough so that you may be a new lump of dough, since you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is offered for us. Christ Jesus suffered and died to forgive your sins and to give you this new life. He's not content with you remaining in your sins, which lead to death. Instead, he forgives you with his shed blood that was washed upon you in the waters of your baptism and given to you today to eat and to drink in his holy supper. There he crucifies in you all your evil rebellion against his word, and he buries it again in the watery tomb. He proclaims, he absolves, and he renews you daily and richly in this good news forgiveness. He is our meat and drink indeed. And because where there is forgiveness, you are being made new, raised from the dead, and given to live a new life. Again, this means you will not leave the same today, because Jesus speaks a word that death cannot stand. He proclaims a word of forgiveness that ends the reign of sin forever. He's driven that wooden stake of the cross through the serpent's skull, breaking the bars of hell. This eternal truth changes you and changes the way that you view the world and everything. You see everything now as redeemed by Christ the crucified. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.